is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio. And we want to thank all of our listeners that are tuning in via their computer or in many cases, they're tuning in on their iPhones and iPads now. You know, it's time for Medicine on Call with Dr. George. Dr. George is on with us on the phone. And Dr. George, I just thought I'd mention to you the response to our apps has been beyond my imagination. And we've got people listening all over the world as we were doing the immigration show yesterday. Charles Cook was getting emails and about I love your podcast, I'm listening to your show right now, so forth and so on. So we're very pleased. With that being said, it is time for Medicine on Call. And what are we up to today, Dr. George?
I mean, I guess we can talk about a ton of things. One thing that I'm passionate about right now is taking control of your health. There's so many forces, government, you know, New York City is a perfect example of the government encroaching into private choices. What you put in your mouth, how much you should exercise. I even read a headline that the White House is now starting to get into what your dog or cat can eat. I mean, so this is like a nanny state gone wild. And the things that they're touting aren't helpful. They're not going to keep you healthy. They're not going to keep you from getting cancer. They're not going to keep you from aging, you know, in a way that's toxic. And I just wanted to kind of set the record straight. You know, we talked a lot about obesity in the country. Nobody's talking about why the obesity population or people with obesity in the population has grown exponentially. And one thing that's a real I think, baseline problem is high fructose corn syrup. There's been a lot of stuff on TV with the food industry trying to tell people that high fructose corn syrup is the same as sugar, as cane sugar, and it's absolutely not. You know, for one thing, it's made from genetically modified corn, I mean, over 90% of the time. To this day, nobody knows exactly. I can take that back. There are studies that show that genetically modified foods are toxic, that they cause cancer, that they cause premature birth. In cattle, it's causing abortions in the calves. And it's made with the process that instills mercury into it. So you're basically ingesting a neurotoxin, a carcinogenic agent, and something that you need a hazmat unit to clean up should you be exposed to it. And that's perfectly fine. The government thinks that's great. I'm at a point now that if the government says, you know, sanctions something as a regulation, I want to run the opposite way, especially when it comes to health.
You know, the government, you've heard this saying about the bullets, and you've heard the thing now about the armored cars, and there's more and more stuff coming out. And from a medical standpoint, I started asking the question, who are these people? Everybody's asking why, but I'm beginning to ask, who are these people? We know that AMA, American Medical Association, has been screwing over the doctors for years. We know that we've got the health panels in place, and just what you're talking about with the information on sugar. Who? I'm having a hard time putting faces and names with these people. It's just sort of an announcement. You know, it doesn't have any credence or credibility or anything saying Joe Smith said this or Dr. Smith is going to do this, or it just happens, or it's just said. And
follow the money, Dave. All you have to do is follow the money.
That's it.
This is a lobby issue. This is the food industry is enormous. the biotech, you know, like things like Monsanto, Archer Daniels Midland, these guys have a ton of power and a ton of influence in Congress, in the FDA, in the USDA. It's just, it's stacked against you. I'd like the analogy of the genetically modified food labeling bill that was set to pass in California. You know how much money the food industry spent on lobbying to against it? And it wasn't just them. It was, you know, not just Monsanto, not just, you know, Archer Daniels Midland. It was things like General Foods, you know, your cereal company. You know, the things that you're talking about, you know, eating healthy granola and what's the other one? Whole Foods and Kashi, you know, that brand. Mm-hmm. These things, these companies were actually working against the health of the population because it's all about money for them. And if you tease apart the genetically modified crops, they're not good. They don't yield as much food. They have toxic, literally toxins within the seed, like Roundup, which, by the way, is Agent Orange, which I really didn't know until I started doing a little bit more digging. Agent Orange, the same Agent Orange that was used in Vietnam to kill, you know, weeds and the foliage so that people, that the soldiers could actually see what they were doing. Well, that's a carcinogen. These guys from Vietnam are now coming back with head and neck cancers, with all sorts of tumors because of exposure to this particular herbicide. And just think, just imagine what that would mean to ingest it in your food. What you are, what you eat. So whatever you put into your mouth will become part of your system cellularly. Once it's in the cell, once it damages your DNA, there's no going back. And it just boggles my mind that that the government, the USDA, the FDA, could sit here and listen to one side of the equation, don't even bother to do any kind of studies on safety. There's no studies that the government has performed. These are all private and anecdotal. You're looking at real time, the corn that's being fed to the cattle, the offspring of the cattle dying in droves, cattle getting sick, you know, being more susceptible to infection. And then you have all the antibiotics that are pumped into them because you have to try to prop them up before they enter the food chain. This is, you have to wonder, but it makes you think, well, why is the cancer rate going through the roof? Why are people sick more than not? Why is the immune system, all these autoimmune diseases popping up out of nowhere? Why is there so much autism? These things just don't happen in a vacuum. You don't go from 1 in 14 breast cancer rate about 20 years ago to 1 in 7 today for no reason.
You know, where's our media in all of this? Where the money is.
Corporate-driven, Dave. This is like United Healthcare, which is my favorite, and I say that with tongue-in-cheek, favorite insurance company. They work the system so that no matter where you are in the healthcare system, they have a piece of it. They're now, you know, becoming agents of the exchanges, you know, the Obama exchange. They're going to be running that in some states. They run the coding book. You know, they work with the AMA to bring out new codes. Our favorite ICD-10, which is going to come online probably within the next year. They have a piece of everything. And they keep changing. They have different subsidiary companies. Now it's Optum. That's a new version of them. It's like an octopus with trillion tentacles just grabbing at anything that's going to involve money that to be made. And I think, and if it were nice and fair and everybody was working for the benefit of society, I wouldn't complain, but it's not about that. It's about keeping you sick, keeping you victimized, keeping you dependent so that you're in the system whether you like it or not. And I have a problem with that. That's against my Hippocratic oath for me to sit here and watch it and not say something.
You know, as you and I have talked, and United Healthcare and AMA and AARP, we might as well throw them in as well. You know, it's all, like you said the other day, it's all about control. And we were talking, we know that they're trying to control guns. They'd like to do away with the Second Amendment. They are bringing in, you know, a billion rounds of ammunition and so forth. And then yesterday, I had no idea. Charles Cook was in doing his immigration hour, and we were talking about, and it's another panel. They've come up with this thing just like you see a patient and you have to circle all the different things and yada-da-da-da to send in, you know, if you send in for insurance and it has to go along with the AMA program or, you know, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's happening in immigration. It's happening in our economy. It's happening, the IRS does it to us. It's like everything we're involved in, somebody else has planned out, and we have to uniformly go along with what they're saying. I had no idea that if you're undocumented and you're picked up, it used to be that bail was automatically set at $1,500. Then all of a sudden, within the last couple of years, it's all the way up to $10,000. And it's a cash bond. It's not like a criminal bond. You can't go to a bail's bondman. You have to give them cash. Then all of a sudden, they're letting all these people out. And what I started to say, though, is when the bail started increasing, guess what they'd come out with? The government had come out with a computer program and saying where you're from, what state you're from, from Mexico or province or whatever, and that's how much you would be charged for bail depending on what country you're from and so forth. And it was pre-programmed, and the sheriff or whoever picked you up or wherever you were thrown in jail as a undocumented person, that's how much cash money you'd have to come up with to bail yourself out. And it's, as Charles was explaining it, I got to thinking, my God, that's the same thing as the death panels. That's the same thing as, you know, so many other things that the government's trying to force on us today. It's
all the same thing.
I'm going crazy.
It's a grid.
Yeah, it is.
It's like a grid. And the healthcare, I mean, it's a fit of the economy. If the government can control that, control the money, actually be the source, the pool where the money actually comes back to, that's going to be a heck of a lot of money entering the government. And it's not like you have a choice. I just got mail, you know, into my office from the Department of Labor asking me or saying that under new regulations I need to give them my banking information. I still don't understand the letter to this day, but it's now a new regulation that I have to give up that information to the Department of Labor. I still don't know why. And there's another tax now that the Georgia's come up with that the physician office has to now pay. We're now eligible, or whatever they want to call it, for this particular tax, which I've never heard of. So there's things now coming down the pipe. As small business, as physicians, we're now going to pay more taxes because we're now on this grid. And for physicians, Medicare is one of the major players in pulling you into a system, whether you like it or not. I'm now in a position now I have opted out, but there's new rules that have come online that it tracks you throughout the country. So if you work for a hospital, if you're performing ER work as contract labor, the Medicare system, and it's not under your tax ID, it's not under anything that to do with you, Medicare still knows what you're doing and tracks you. And I have a choice now. I have to decide if I want to opt out all over the country. I don't have a choice. If I opt out, it's all over the country, no matter where I am, even if I'm not working for myself. And so I have a decision now I have to make. Either I have to go back into the Medicare system, which I really don't want to do, or I have to lower my ability, my earning potential, because the government's going to control it. It's just, it's horrible. I mean, I thought this daddy couldn't sell Girl Scout cookies or sell lemonade on the street. It's coming to a place near you. No matter who you are, where you are now going to be monitored. Your choices are going to be looked at. You're going to be taxed. And it's just prohibitive. There's no privacy left. It's really sad.
Let's, on that cheery note, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call right after this.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan-Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Moms, dads, listen to my radio program, Homeschooling for Today, on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll learn all about how to homeschool on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that wellness and prevention is the key to living a long and healthy life? For example, common diseases such as acid reflux, high cholesterol, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and high blood pressure, in some cases, are caused by poor nutrition. Scientific studies suggest the use of nutritional supplements, a healthy diet, and exercise can control and, in some cases, prevent disease. Use nutritional supplements that are formulated using good manufacturer practice standards, and remember to let your doctor know what you are taking, since it can react with prescription medication. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on America's Web Radio and with Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call. And it's, you know, sometimes I feel like, Dr. George, we're talking to the, preaching to the choir. The choir has to come around and start grabbing their friends that are in the middle of the road or on the fence or whatever analogy one wants to use. Just listen to the facts, folks. That's the step in the right direction. If you'll just listen to the facts, listen to what Dr. George is saying. Because we're only, in my opinion, only days away from calling up to set up your annual physical with your primary care physician, and he's going to tell you, or you're going to be told, he or she is no longer practicing, or they've moved to the moon.
Well, you know, I think that's bad. It's horrible. But worse, you're going to get a doctor who's all in, and they're going to be talking about or using their meaningful use modules on their electronic medical record system, gathering information on you. And I recommend that you start thinking critically. If somebody's asking you questions that you don't feel comfortable answering, then don't answer them. I mean, really, this meaningful use is about getting information about you and your homes, your household, how many people are in it, who does what your living will situation is. I mean, you're coming in for a physical, not to let them know if you've got guns in your home, you know.
I love that one. I just,
yeah, well,
you know,
this is all demographic gathering of information. And if you ever say, but think about this, Dave, critically for 1 minute, there's a big, huge push towards identifying people who have any kind of mental challenge. Okay, you've been depressed, you've ever been hospitalized for depression, you've gone through grief and you've taken medication. Who knows? You did a speech and so you got some anti-anxiety medication so you can calm down to do the speech. Any innocuous thing, they know. If they don't now, they definitely will. What medications you've ever been prescribed, what your pharmacies that you've gone to, and what medications you've had dispensed to you. They don't care that it's for you're taking something for reflux or because you're nervous before you give a speech. All they know is you're on an anti-anxiety medication. You're on a sleeping medication. You're on a medication for pain. These things go into a database. and they will be used against you. This is not some big brother, you know, making sure that you're okay. This is about control. So if you want to go and get licensed to carry a firearm, they're going to have this information, and you probably won't get it. You know, you won't pass muster to get it, or, God forbid, get on a plane, or work with the government, or have a teaching job that you work with children, you name it. This is an economy now that's planned from the top down, and it's called collectivism. Look up this word. It's in Wikipedia. It's everywhere. And it's a mindset, and I'm going to read what Wikipedia says about it, because this is the crux of everything that we're talking about today. Collectivism is any philosophic, political, religious, economic, or social outlook that emphasizes the interdependence of every human being in society or civilization. Collectivism is a basic cultural element that exists as the reverse of individualism in human nature. And that's the bottom line. It's not about you as an individual. For me as a doctor, it's not about treating you as an individual patient. It's about the group, what's good for the many, outweighing the needs of the few. And I don't even get to decide what good is. It's somebody from the government proselytizing how I should treat my patient. And trust me, if I don't, then I'm going to be held accountable. I'm an outlier. I am a disruptive physician, and I'll be put out of business. That's what they're working towards. That's what Obamacare is the template for, and that's what the government is working on in terms of the economy. There's no other way to see this. That's what they're teaching in school.
It's I don't know what it is anymore. Just like you said in your opening statement, is that people have to learn to take care of themselves, not only physically and mentally, but they've got to educate themselves on just what you said, a word, collectivism. Find out what it means. Is this what you want to be a part of? I don't. I don't want to be put in a group. I want my individuality. And
that's what makes us us. That's what makes us the United States of America. It's individual. It's mm-hmm. not groupthink, group speak. And we're doing this. I mean, we've got a small minority of people, these leftists, they want to call themselves progressives, but they're leftists, who are a bunch of control freaks, who, if you really want to get down to the psychological aspect of it, feel less than, cannot compete on a playing field that's equal with other people, and therefore have to rig the game and get rid of the competition and make it illegal for you to be an individual, for you to strive to be the best you can be. Now it's a bad thing. They don't want to give grace anymore. They don't want to let you be a valedictorian. If you go to a party, every kid gets a present. This is ridiculous. But this is the people now who are grown up and are adults. I don't want to deal with these people. They have a mindset that really, they don't feel good about themselves, but the only way that they can feel good is to control everything. That's pathetic. And that means that we're going to drop down to the lowest common denominator. And I don't want to deal with, I don't want to live that way here in this country. Most people don't, but they're too busy, you know, doing what they have to do to actually survive, that they're not seeing this. But it'll become glaringly obvious, I think, to everybody pretty soon.
You know, Dr. George, it's sort of like you could pick them out in your class. They were really the losers, not the gang members or whatever, but the losers that had their nose always stuck in a book, but they couldn't socialize with anybody. And so they're the ones that are coming back, just like you were describing them. They're coming back. Well, I'm going to get even because I'm going to control. And if I have enough people, nobody's going to question me. Nobody's going to hit me on the head. Nobody's going to take me aside and pressure me. So, and I think this is, they're control freaks that were initially losers, and this is their ploy of gaining power.
Dave, I think that's one side of the puzzle. I think the other side of it is the quote-unquote elite who by birthright, you know, by having money, mm-hmm. think that they're special, but actually they're no better than the ones you just described. Because their dad and their mom paid their way through things. They didn't have to compete. They could just kind of get away with stuff. And these are the same folks on the flip side.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
those of us who actually go in there, work hard, have ingenuity, you know, are actually working to succeed by the seat of our pants and are, by the grace of God, we're a threat to both of these people. Because if we actually stand up and take our power back, they lose. And all they do is keep fear as the sword that hangs over the majority of this country's heads. We need to stop living in fear. They do it to us all the time. This whole sequester thing is total crap, which is based on fear. You know, the firemen, they won't have teachers, the control tower people who work
air
at the
traffic controllers,
will be,
yeah.
Thank you. We'll quit. And then the lines will be 5 or 6 hours long. You know what? None of that's happening. And none of that would happen. What would happen is we would stop funding golf trips and, you know, flights for these Congress critters to go to whatever country to get whatever payoff they're going to get. That's what should happen. That's what they're afraid of. You know what? I'm going to tell you, Dave. I think the biggest fear is that if this sequester, as it's happening now, will go through, nothing bad will happen, and the economy will get better, and people will realize, hey, you know what? We can do cuts, and it's not going to hurt. We actually should do more of them. That's what they're afraid of. That's the bottom line.
My only concern, and you know, if it were done right, I wouldn't have that big a concern. There's a ton, an absolute ton of waste in the military. But with that being said, we have to maintain our military. I know for a fact that things have been called off in the military that have been planned for years. And because of money, they've been called off now. That's the only place, as far as everything else goes, the handout, the people that think they deserve something for nothing, no. Let's cut them off. Let them go to work. Let them go sweeping our streets, whatever. Cut them off. This deal, I haven't received mine. I'm sure you've probably received yours, your taxpayer vacation to Florida to play golf with. I know you're a golfer, so I'm sure you're going to be getting your taxpayer certificate to go play golf with Tiger.
No.
Or you're going to go to Colorado. You're
going
to go skiing, the taxpayer gift to you to go skiing. You know, I don't begrudge that, except I don't begrudge the time. If he feels like he can take off a week and go play golf for a weekend, that's fine. Not on my nickel. Not on my nickel. As far as, and I just put this on Facebook, as far as I know, August is presidential vacation month. It's been that way for years and years and years. And somebody will come up and call me or throw it in my face. Well, George Bush flew to Texas. Oh, yeah. And if you think about it, going to Texas, it was already set up. It was sort of like going to Camp David. It's already pre-wired, pre-this, pre-that. And it's a whole lot cheaper than going to a motel in Florida to play golf, or to Colorado, and you have to, it's almost like you have to reinvent the wheel every time they go someplace. And that's expensive.
$1 million for a weekend trip apparently would have saved 300 federal jobs. If you want to talk about sequester money. And you know what? I don't have a problem with people who need help getting it. You know, whether you're poor, you've got children, you're elderly, you've got mental problems. I don't have a problem with that. Those people should probably come, you know, that should be looked at second in terms of cutting. But I have a problem with paying millions of dollars for new TSA uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
I have a problem with, you know, vacations that cost $1 million a weekend. I have a problem with that. And with Congress voting themselves raises and, the executive office being exempt from the sequester. I've got a problem with all of that. And the military shouldn't be the first ones to get cut. It should be this nonsense. But that's not what they want to do. I mean, the fact that Nancy Pelosi could say it means the Congress for them to consider getting a pay cut is just outrageous. She should be run out on a rail for saying something like that. I mean, it's a totally renegade government, totally divorced from what their laws are. They're sitting on high, basically deciding how much more can we siphon the bloodsuckers from the rest of the country. And how can we keep everybody fighting each other while we're doing it? They're doing a fabulous job.
They are.
Of bait and switch, mm-hmm. divide and conquer, and they're bringing out the worst in people by, and we talked about this before, as soon as you get somebody's emotions involved with something, their critical thinking skills go out the window. They no longer are able to think, you know, rationally, because they're so caught up in tribalism. You know, it's my group against your group, my team against your team. I'm the biggest victim. You know what? We're all victims except for Warren Buffett and the rest of that crew who have the ear of the Congress and the White House and decide how they're going to stay on top while everybody else suffers more and pays more for the privilege. That's really what's going on. We need to really wake up to that.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that an inability to lose weight can be due to an underactive thyroid gland? The thyroid gland is an important organ that controls the metabolism. Signs of an underactive thyroid gland include depression, hair loss, weight gain, a low blood pressure, feeling cold, constipation, and a lower libido. Risks for low thyroid function include iron deficiency, liver dysfunction, family history of thyroid disease, and an irregularity in the immune system. If you have noticed any of these symptoms, or you have noticed swelling in the front of your neck, or the collar of your shirt feels tight, you should see your doctor for further evaluation, including blood tests to evaluate the levels of thyroid hormone in your bloodstream. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And again, folks, if you've got a drippy nose or you got an infection or you've had problems with sinuses, give Dr. George a call, go in and see her. I can assure you that she will talk to you and have, I don't want to say, it's like old time religion. You'll sit there and you'll be talking to a doctor, not to a zombie that has to check and see if, you know, if you're on the right chart and what I have to do for this and that. And Dr. George is a doctor that cares. And there's so few of them today that, and the ones that do, many of them have thrown their hands up and moving out. So if you've got a problem or you know a family member has sinus problem, throat problem, call Dr. George. That was I know that wasn't in the program, Dr. George, but I just had to say it.
I appreciate it, Dave. I appreciate everything you do. I think what we need to do, we were talking about in the break, of being conscious of where we spend our energy. Okay, we spend so much time on being afraid of something happening to us, being victimized by something, that it just saps you. And it makes you vulnerable. And I think it makes you also powerless. I don't choose to do that. You know, I can sit here and go along with the program and become a hospital employee and see 90 patients a day and have PAs and MAs do my work and me co-sign that. And that would make it easier, but it would be soulless. You know, I would sit there and I would lose the ability to do what I was put on this earth to do. I choose not to do that, and I'm happier for it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And I go to sleep, and I sleep well at night, knowing that I'm true to what I'm supposed to be doing. If everybody had that mentality, and everybody decided, you know what, it may not be easy, but it's the right thing, then these guys would not be winning the battle, because people would stand up. You know, it's a simple thing. Someone, you have an opinion, like, for example, in the workplace, and you're afraid to say what your opinion is because someone's going to call you a name, a racist, a sexist, or what, a bully, whatever. But you know that in your heart of hearts that you're not, and you need to speak up for yourself. It's time to stop being bullied. It's like this doublespeak, Orwellian doublespeak. Everything they say that people do, they are doing to you. You know, the government is bullying us as individuals. I'm being bullied as a doctor to follow these guidelines, which I'm totally against, and not being put in a box where if I don't do it, then my specialty society is on board and is putting in regulations and rules that are making me have to, like a maze, they're closing doors, so you have to go down a certain pathway. Either you stop walking the maze and you break the maze, or you fall into the trap. I mean, it's if many of us, more of us, decided not to do what they're asking us to do, you know, just opt out, stop participating, this system would give. It would stop working. We do it because we're trained from our parents to follow authority and to be a good citizen. In this case, being a good citizen in a lawless and unethical and immoral system is not helping us. I think we need to stand up for ourselves and say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. And that would get their attention, and I think that would stop it.
It has to be massive. It has to be everybody stepping up. I say everybody. It has to be a larger percentage of us than of them. And yet...
Well, there is, though. There is. But you know what? I don't agree with that, actually. I think it doesn't take a majority. It takes being vocal everywhere, right? Each individual has power in the voice. You don't need 10 million people to have your voice heard. It's you. I mean, let me give you this example. I don't know if you read this article, but I was so appalled that I said to myself after I read it, they should close Yale University down. But there was this this course where they taught that a sensitivity workshop to bestiality. I know it sounds pretty disgusting, but this person was trying to say that it's just a choice and you need to feel compassion for these people and it's a normal sexual, you know, choice on a continuum. Are you kidding me? If I were a parent spending money to send my child to Yale, I'd be calling up there immediately to get my money back and actually maybe sue the university for actually putting knowledge or thoughts like that into my kid's head. That's ridiculous. But this is where these guys get over. These things go on. Nobody says anything. You keep pushing the envelope. But where does it stop? You know, this is, someone should take a stand to this, against this. I know if I were paying cash to go up there, I'd be up in arms right about now. It's unbelievable. But this is what we're at now. People are saying up is down is up, you know.
But shouldn't the same,
okay.
shouldn't we also be up in arms and yelling and screaming regarding something as simple as, like I said, I don't begrudge going to Florida for golf to play golf. I begrudge him spending taxpayer dollars. So shouldn't we be up in arms about that as well?
I think there's definitely an argument for that. In an economy that people, I mean, the homeless rate in New York is higher than it's been since the Great Depression. There's 18% homeless families in D.C. I just read that statistic yesterday. 18%. How do you justify spending the amount of money and with the trips? It's just like let them eat cake. It's exactly what that's like. You know, and what? That, you know. And the sad part is the people who, and I think that people in these situations are speaking up, they are just ignored by the media. I think maybe we should spend our energy on outing the media, that they're all complicit in keeping this system going, because, of course, it's all corporate-driven. And if we make it obvious that they're just, they're not the media, they're a mouthpiece, that might make some, start to make some sort of difference. If people come into the media to use, to just basically get their talking points off, and the media, you know, the top media moguls are just having lunch with these guys and going up and getting their marching orders, it's just a big cabal.
You know, I don't know if you've kept track of this, but it is interesting. And like you said, people, us folks at the bottom can make a heck of a difference from the standpoint. You know, it came out, people are finally realizing that Progressive Insurance is exactly that. It's the insurance company of the Progressive Party. Peter Lewis is the president of it, but the real main stockholder behind Progressive Insurance is George Soros. He's propping up the New York Times. He's the money behind Progressive Insurance, and we know that he's Obama's personal piggy bank. And people have found this out and said, wait a second, I don't want Progressive Insurance. And their cancellation rate just over the past few weeks is getting the point across. And if everybody, you know, they're going to be liberals, they're going to be people that don't care, well, they gave me the best price, so I'll go with them. You don't have to. There's plenty of insurance competition out there. If you want to support the Progressive Party, that's fine. That's exactly what you're doing if you have Progressive Insurance. So, and it can make a difference.
Vote with your pocketbook. Vote with your pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes with everything. You know, stay out of the big box stores. I mean, Walmart's not your friend. They're about, you know, putting food in there and that's not genetically modified labeled. They have all sorts of crap from China, which I personally don't want to touch because it's really very poor quality if it's not toxic. And that's why they're keeping the prices cheap. It's slave labor based. It's inhumane most of the time. I don't want to go into a system or feed a system that works against what my ethics and my personal moral beliefs are. You need to start going locally. Your local farmer, your local mom-and-pop, you know, health food store, your local grocery. It's time to start giving your community money instead of having it siphon out to China or India or wherever else they're sending it. It's time to go local. If we did that, what we would do, and, I mean, organic food is a perfect example. It's expensive because it's artificially kept that way. But if more people would actually start buying it, the cost would come down. We can drive our own economy, and we can drive the toxins that are put into our system by opting out of using them. Don't buy those light bulbs that you have to have hazmat come and pick up if you have a break. You know?
What a joke.
Stop using high fructose corn syrup. Remember, I don't know if you saw this, but about a year or two ago, they came out with sodas that were made like the old way with cane sugar, and they called them, Flashback. I forget what the name, they had a little catchy name for them. But if folks started buying those sodas, less the high fructose corn syrup sodas alone, that would drive the market. That would make them say, hey, you know what, it's all about the money. Let us give people what they want, and then we could change their direction. But as long as we go along with the cheapest, crappiest, this is what you get.
That's
for Taco Bell, that just decided or just came out and said that they have horse meat in their, that they discovered that they have horse meat in their system. If I were a Taco Bell eater, I would stop going. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't go to any fast food burger joint because you know they share the same food supply. And you're deluding yourself if you think it's all in Europe. But this is what, if you decide, I don't care, I don't, it doesn't matter to me, then you get what you get, and you're killing yourself.
Let's stop there, take a break, and we'll discuss something else when we come back. We'll talk about it. We'll be back right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold. And avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is Rena Sartain asking you to join us on the Master Gardener Hour every Saturday morning at 11. Lively conversation and great guests. You'll always learn a lot. See you on Saturday.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that nasal stuffiness can cause snoring and decrease the amount of oxygen that your body receives? A decrease in oxygen to the brain can cause problems with memory and concentration, and in severe cases, it can cause stroke. A decrease in oxygen to the heart can lead to high blood pressure, and in severe cases, a heart attack. Nasal stuffiness can be caused by exposure to irritants such as dust, mold, pollution, and chemicals. It can also be caused by exposure to trees, grass, and certain foods such as corn, wheat, eggs, soy, milk, and various meats. Medical treatment with nasal sprays and/or antihistamines that don't cause drowsiness can alleviate the congestion. It is important not to use over-the-counter spray decongestants since they can be addictive and actually make breathing more difficult. See your doctor for a complete evaluation of your nose. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. And during the break, we were talking about something. As I've told Dr. George and Dr. Blank, you know, I get so wrapped up in this, and you know, sometimes I feel like I'm beginning to have a problem. But I don't want to say I've cured myself, but at least I can focus in a different direction, and it's good from two standpoints. I'm going to do a garden. When I was farming many years ago, we always had a huge garden. Enough that it would be illegal today, but we could have set up a roadside stand if we'd wanted to. But there's nothing better, in my opinion, than a fresh tomato. There's nothing better than good squash. There's nothing better than homegrown cantaloupe and okra, and I could go on and on. So this year it's garden time. As soon as it warms up just a little bit, I'm going to start tilling a portion of my backyard, turning it over, getting down to the good dirt. I've been composting now for a couple of years, so I'm ready to bring that compost into action. And Dr. George is going to start coming out. I think you agreed to what, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning you're going to be out? No, we're going to be sharing... We're gonna share whatever we grow, and it, like I said, it has two benefits. It takes your mind off of Washington, and it focuses on something that's good, quality food from your own garden. It just can't be beat.
It's all about quality, Dave. In no matter what you're doing, and in no matter what aspect of your life, that's where the focus needs to be on. not about collectivism or going along, getting along. It's about quality. That means you have to set your own standards. And I can pretty much assure you it's going to be higher than what the government sets. And being able to control your own destiny, that should be a human right, you know? And you're doing the right thing. Control what you put into your mouth. That's the first line of defense. Medically, it's the way to stay healthy. It's the way to keep your body, your immune system on track. You're doing the right thing, and I think that's the foundation of taking control elsewhere in your life. Start with yourself and work out from there.
Well, we're certainly going to do it. Nothing better than that fresh corn either. I haven't had an ear of corn. I can't remember the last time I had an ear of corn that tasted like corn.
I know. And it's actually sweet without anything on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to it. I'm not gonna have a ton, but I'm gonna have enough. And I encourage everybody to go out and have a community garden, be a part of that, or do it yourself in your backyard. The government, so far, they can't take that away from you. They may rattle their chains, but they can't take it away from you if you're growing it yourself and not selling it. If you're trying to sell it, they seem to want to restrict that at this point.
I would go further, and I would also say make sure that the water that you drink is clean, and that means getting filters for your water, for your house or your apartment, that are fluoride filters as well. If that's another toxin that we're ingesting along with the high fructose corn syrup. And I think if you could clean your diet and remove those two things, you'd go a very, very long way towards staying healthy. And I would add certain vitamins as a supplement to that, magnesium, potassium, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, chromium. These are all vitamins and minerals that are lacking in our diet. And iodine is another one, which is most of us are iodine deficient, even though we have iodized salt. And iodine is one of the major cofactors that help keep the breast and prostate tissue healthy. And I think that may also be an underpinning reason why we're seeing such a rise in prostate and breast cancer in our country. So, you know, one healthy thing I'd leave the listeners with today is to get to your doctor or holistic practitioner and get your blood work checked for iodine levels, vitamin D levels, magnesium levels, a baseline blood count, a baseline metabolic panel, and see where you stand, because ultimately all diseases start, in my opinion, and I'm not alone anymore, as nutritional deficiencies. It's what your body's not getting and is not able to heal itself, and then it goes off track, starts creating cancer cells, the immune system is unable to keep up, and then you end up getting a disease. So instead of drugging yourself with pharmaceuticals, fix the problem and not the symptom. That would be my take-home message from today's show.
And by the way, today's show is going to be replayed multiple times, as they generally are, but it will be on again at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to replay this show, and we do every Wednesday. We replay this at 1 o'clock. There are so many things that the individual, if you just know about them and will do them, and just what Dr. George was saying, if you didn't get it the first time around, listen again at 1 o'clock, and she'll repeat herself, as a matter of fact. I think that's pretty cool. You know why? I know some situations where doctors are very reluctant to say anything about vitamins or supplements. Are they, you know, I don't want to say, have they been bought off by the pharmaceuticals, or are they just, they don't know, or are they just, I had a doctor say the other day, well, you know, taking fish oil, eating fish and getting your omega-3 from eating fish is fine. It's good. That's what you should do. But as far as taking the supplement, it doesn't do any good. I quit taking them, and, you know, it's not going to – it doesn't do you any good anyway. Personally
– A doctor said that?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I take them. I take it every night. And, you know, from my knowledge and when I go in for my annual, it's controlling my cholesterol, and that's what it should do.
Well, you know, obviously the doctor doesn't really follow current events. And on a holistic scale, it's always better to get your supplement, your vitamins, your minerals from your diet. I agree with that statement on the face of itself. But in actuality, eating fish now, it's full of mercury or core exit or radiation from Fukushima, it's not the same. So if you really want to keep yourself healthy, you really have to look at your food supply. I personally don't eat anything anymore from the Gulf, from Pacific Northwest, farmed, because the farmed fish is crap as well. So tuna, I don't touch, because it's full of mercury, or it's full of some chemical, or God forbid, radiation. They already looked at fish from off the coast of the Fukushima incident, and there's still 5,000 times higher radiation dose in those fish than they're supposed to have. Those fish migrate. You know, the natural flow of the oceans is towards the United States, just like the jet stream. So whatever's happening in Fukushima affects all of us. So, you know, really pay attention to your environment. Just because this doctor who's really in la-la land says something ridiculously stupid based on reality, I mean, as a patient, you should question that doctor, quite frankly.
Absolutely. You know, you said something, and again, I get very upset with my industry, the mass media. It is a fact, folks, that stuff, just as you said, everything comes towards the United States. The Japanese radiation from the tsunami is hitting our West Coast every day, be it desk, be it chairs, be it this, be it that, and it is bringing radiation with it. And where is our mainstream media? They're not touching it.
No. I mean, the radiation has gone up in milk, in things that are grown, especially in Japan, definitely. But they've already said that in the West. Actually, as far east as Vermont, they were seeing increased radiation in milk from cows. So, you know, we're all connected. We're all tied together. But you can still take advantage of your own power. If you did, I mean, I have a system in my house that removes radiation from the water. And now I've added it to my shower. Because when you take hot showers, hot baths, the water, whatever's in the water actually absorbs into the skin even more so. So this is all a concerted effort. It's like a bubble that you need to place around yourself. Watch what you're eating. Watch what you're drinking. It does count. It's not like you have to sit here and be passively a victim. You do have control. And you can also do supplementation to remove heavy metals. Things like magnesium removes heavy metals from your system. There's a company called Orthomolecular that makes really good products for removing toxins from the liver, helping your kidneys. Email me. I'll be happy to share that with you. You can email me at Dr. Elena George at DrGeorge@PeachtreeEntCenter.com. Then I'll be happy to give you links to these articles. You can start taking control of your own health.
And with that, we've got to stop. We're out of time. Dr. George, thank you as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.